Praise God. Turn to 3 John, verse 2. Third John, not third day, verse 2. Third John, verse 2. Would you read it with me? Praise God. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in a couple things. In one thing. In two things. Three things. Man, you better highlight that right now. All things. Everything that there is, God wants you to prosper in. Good, thank you. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in what? All things. You know, I don't think most believers believe that. You know, they quote this scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but they don't get it. God says, I want you to prosper in what? All things. Ooh, all things. And be in what? Health. This ain't no good if you're prospering in all things and you're a sick puppy. Because you can't enjoy the prosperity, can you? Just as your what? Soul prospers. Oh, so we know that the soul has something to do with your prospering, don't we? Amen? And in your soul, we've talked about this before, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so many people are so misled by emotions that they can't prosper. Every circumstance is so offensive or so effective to them, they can't move. They get caught up, and then they accept the devil, the voice of the devil says, you know what, you're not going anywhere. You know, the devil always wants to stop you in your tracks. Amen? As you begin to become successful, let me share with you, prosperity is associated with success. There are a couple things that must be associated with becoming successful. First of all, it must be the will of God that you're successful in. Are you with me? The second thing is you must have a desire to do whatever it takes to be successful. Even as a Christian walk, you must have a desire to be successful in the Christian walk. Are you with me? You must have that desire, and you must be a driver. I'm telling an individual that will go forward no matter what. I'm going forward with or without you. Hello? Does everybody understand that? You must be an individual that's willing to endure all the way till you have succeeded. No matter what. Because if God told you something, that means you're to go all the way through to the end. But he says something powerful. He says, I want you to prosper in all things. In other words, I want you to prosper in the relationship with him. I want you to prosper in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I want you to prosperity is a representation of more. Are you with me? Of what? More. In other words, not a little, but more. It's associated with something we want to call overflow. God is preparing his church to overflow. In fact, the Bible says he's prepared a place, he's prepared a table in the presence of your enemies, right? He's already anointed your head, and when you get there, what happens? Your cup, what? Runs over. That's the kind of life the Lord wants us to have. And now I'm not speaking about just prosperity and wealth and whatever. Because the Bible says that you must prosper in your soul. That means you must prosper in your relationship. But you know what? Even the world becomes successful. Because the wicked will become successful because they are determined to become successful. They've put it in their heart to become successful. Although they steal, kill, and destroy to become successful. They do it the wrong way. So their success is going to come against them at the end. But your success and prosperity will increase and expand the kingdom of God. That's why the Lord wants you to prosper. Do you understand that? But we get this carnal, goofy mind that says, I'm not worthy. I saw a guy on TV. He was a priest or some Episcopalian, or I don't know what he was. And it blew my mind. I wanted to stretch my hand on that TV and choke him. He said something in front of all. And you know, it's amazing in how the news interviews. You know, I don't know how to explain it without offending somebody, so I won't. Anyways, they interview these boneheads that are supposedly men of God. And I saw them interview this dude, and he says, yes, I've taken a vow of poverty. I went, what a bonehead. I wanted to tell, who told you that, man? You took a vow of poverty? Yes, I took a vow of poverty. You look at, that's against the will of God. God said, I don't want you to be in poverty. Anybody that takes a vow of poverty has just made agreement with the devil. Y'all getting that? You know, but there's so many, Mr. and Mrs. Martyrism. We have suffered for the kingdom of God. You didn't have to. If you had taken your authority and had a desire to become successful, you wouldn't have to become a beggar. Hello. Listen, people that are out on the streets is because that's what they chose. I was there. I chose it. I brought it on myself. And I had a little assistance. He was from the devil. I just agreed with what the devil wanted me to do, and so be it. But until I became, revelation became manifesting in my thoughts of, wait a minute, I don't want to live this way anymore. I mean, like, you know, there's got to be another life. And there is. And there are levels of success. There are levels of prosperity. Are you with me? But see, those are all up to you. You must have a drive to be successful. You must have a desire to please God and to be successful. Everything in prosperity is associated with your relationship with the Lord. Now listen, when I was in the world, we always, you know, when I was doing drug dealing and everything, we'd go down to the beach, wait for that shipment to come in, you know. And hopefully the boat would break and all the stuff would just float up and we'd take it and run. But it didn't happen. It happened to everybody else but me. Of course, they were probably all lying anyways. You know, you'd hear that playing. I mean, you've heard people. I remember in Virginia, there was a story, and I don't know if it was true. No, it was on the news, that a plane was being chased by the police, the Air Force or whatever, and they started throwing bales out, bales of dope, and it was hitting trailer court, and people were sitting in their living room, all of a sudden, boom, a bale of pot came in there. You don't think they were saying hallelujah? They thought they just got an answer from God. It was a principality off course. Hallelujah. But it doesn't happen that way. Hello? That's not what it is. You know, the people are, I'm telling you, many believers have the mentality that it's coming. They hear that plane, must be God. I know that money's coming, that millions of dollars are coming. You know, people quote the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen. But it ain't coming, you're going to have to go get it. Hello? You got to go get it. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. Praise be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Is everybody there? Are you sure? Did I say 2 Corinthians 8? Good. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Let me check something out here. I think it was 2 Corinthians 8. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, I got 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. So let's go there and read it, and we'll see what happens. Is everybody there? Are you sure? Good. Would you read it now? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Is everybody there? Yes. Come on, are y'all sure? Yes. Well, let's read it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now you know the religious demons are going, oh my God, he's preaching about being wealthy. You're right. I am preaching about being wealthy. Nothing worse than a poor Christian, besides a miserable one. Hello? You know, when the Lord sent me to Cambodia, one of the things he put on my heart, he says, I want you to help them increase their economy. I thought, whoa. And there was a place that they were taking women off the streets. They were taken in slavery and prostitution from the ages of 4 up. And they had to, and this place was a beautiful place, and they had a huge tall brick wall all around it with barbed wire fence because their owners would come looking for them to try and take the women back and put them on the streets. And this guy I met in a hotel, he brought me over to this place, and I was blessed. And he had 60 girls in there, and they were building another building next to it, put 60 more in there. And he brought me through, and they were teaching him English and computer skills and sewing. And they brought me in this sewing room with all these sewing machines. And then there was another place where they were teaching him how to do hair and makeup and all the stuff for the kids and whatever. And I know that the Lord was putting it on my heart. He says, you know, not only I want you to bring me there and to minister to these people and to assist and feed and whatever, but I want you to begin to search out how I want you to economically assist these places because they're all Christian places. I mean, what better way to draw someone in an impoverished area than to be prosperous? Because their normal average income a month is $35. And they start off at $15. The middle class makes $80 to $100. The above class and higher echelon is a $300 to $400. A month. All of this is a month. And what was on my heart, I was like, you know, Lord, what do you want to do? And it's like, you know, and I'm praying about what kind of garments they have made. So that these people no longer will get, you know, $35 a month, but maybe $100 to $150 a month. See, that's going to change the economy right there. And people are going to want to know why these people who were on the streets and poor are now wealthy. Why are they rich? Why are they prospering? And they're going to be able to tell them because of Jesus. Do you understand that? You don't think that's going to cause the kingdom of God to grow? Amen, it will. Amen, it will. When people see that motorcycle in places that says Christ the King on it, and I'll be back, Jesus on the back. People look at that and think, man, you're wealthy. In the standard arena of finances, I'm not wealthy, but I am rich in Christ. Are you understanding that? That machine, when it goes to places, puts an unction in an individual that says, I want that. What do I have to do to get something like that? Do you understand that? And you got to know Jesus. Are you with me? See, God will use any tool that he can to bring somebody into their kingdom. Amen? So God wants us, and let me share with you, in this end time move, the body of Christ is going to become wealthy. But it's not going to be according to the way you think. That plane is not going to fly over and drop $1 million bill through your roof. Amen? He's going to cause you to get into something that it's his will and not yours. Are you with me? See, there's so many things that are going on out there that are not exalting Christ. Are you with me? And these things, God's going to bring things across to where he's going to call. First of all, it starts with a desire. The purpose must not be for your own selfish gain. If it is, you won't get there. Are you with me? If it's for your own selfish gain, you won't get there. The purpose in your heart must always be to how can I expand the kingdom and bring glory to his name. The moment you lose that, you've made way to the devil. Are you with me? You know, the people that I'm sharing with you in this country alone, if I pulled up with a Lamborghini that said, "Praise the Lord," and climb aboard. Hello? People would freak. First of all, they thought I was a thief because they can't imagine a pastor having that kind of money. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the world. As soon as they see a TV evangelist, they think, he's stealing your money. And it's because so many of them have. So it's brought a bad reputation, hasn't it? But those are people that don't know God anyway. So, but you understand, these are avenues that God wants us to have finances. But he wants us, first of all, to be rich in him in every area. Are you with me? Remember, he paid the price for you so that you could become wealthy. But there is a mentality, and I want to call it a welfare mentality, that is infiltrated and moves around in the body of Christ that says, I can't do it. I must depend somebody else to do it for me. And that's got to stop. The Bible says, no worky, no eaty. Amen? It says, no work, no eat. God will always make way for you to work. No matter what it is. And let me tell you something. The only way that you will become successful is to be a giver. Even the wicked, some of them have given to become successful. Then the wickedness overtook them, where now they become greedy. But to become successful, you must be a giver. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 35. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right? Verse 27. Glory. Would you read it with me? Now, this is the word of the Lord. This is not me. Amen? This is the word of the Lord. Would you read it? Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause. Who what? Favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So, does God have pleasure in your prosperity? Yes! I'm telling you, this mentality has got to go. He has pleasure in your prosperity. He said, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. He has pleasure in your prosperity. You do not have to take a vow of poverty. That's called false humility. And it's a lie from the devil. Yes, I'm suffering for God. Listen, he suffered for us. Amen? Your suffering now is waiting. Hello? Your suffering is now waiting. Oh, God, when is he going to do this? Amen? That's your suffering. That's called long suffering. He already suffered for you. But then the enemy does something. He says, there's so many people that just about reach a level where they're about to prosper. And the devil comes and wipes them out. It's because they've not closed the doors to their life, to the devil. You cannot become successful in the body of Christ without shutting every door. Because the devil will eat you up. He'll wait for you to get to a certain level and a certain plateau. And then pull that hook. Pull that rod with the string. Whoom. And everything around you will fall and crumble. And he loves to do that because he can affect more individuals. Are you with me? Praise God. Okay. Glory. John 10:10. Prepare for overflow. Come on. Prepare. Say, I'm getting prepared for overflow. You know, the Bible says that if you're obedient to God, that the blessings will overtake you. They'll overtake you. Hallelujah. Overtake me, Dad. Kill me with the blessing. Hallelujah. John 10:10. Is everybody there? Read it with me. The what? The what? The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Now, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, hasn't he? Amen? What's he come to steal? Your prosperity. Do you understand that if you prosper, you can help others? That's why the Bible tells us, look at work so you can get some cash in your pocket, and then if you can help somebody else. Amen? That's a bummer to walk down the street and you ain't got a nickel in your pocket, and somebody's asking for some food. And you can't even feed them. That's not what God's called us to walk in. We're to walk in prosperity in every area, aren't we? Amen? Hallelujah. Go to... Now, I want you to understand that the word abundant life is overflow. That means it's not living week by week, day by day. That is not abundant. Are you with me? Abundant doesn't mean you live month by month. That's not abundant. Are you with me? Are you hearing this? God wants us to come to a place where there is abundant life and prosperity in each and every one. Why? So we can rescue His children. Amen? So we can rescue the lost. Now, go to Proverbs 4. Now, you got to understand something. This is not going to happen without a fight. Like I said, you're not going to get something in the mail that says, well, you just won such and such. And if you get somebody that calls you and tells you, listen, there is wealth waiting for you, but we just need a little help to open up the treasures. It will cost you $20,000 or see $4 million. That is a scam. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Would you read it with me? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. And do not let them depart from your. So you got to have vision, don't you? You got to see it, man. You've got to see it. The Bible tells us that those who don't have vision, they go astray. You must see it. You must see it. You know why? Because when you see it, you think it. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, he what? He is. Same thing with healing. You must see it. You must see it. Are you with me? You must see it. When you go pray for people, you must see it. You must see it. That's why Jesus spoke in visualization. You've got to see it. There are things that I've seen, and I've seen them come to pass. I've seen things in the spirit that have manifested in the natural realm, and it's blown my mind. Blown my mind. You know, it's a wonderful thing to help somebody else become prosperous. That's given, isn't it? That's why the Bible says if you help somebody with their vision, what they're seeing, God will fulfill yours. Why? Because you're giving into somebody else's vision. But see, when you become like-minded and see their vision, God begins to see your vision. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Wow. Health to all their flesh. Now, he said, pay attention to my words and don't let them depart from your eyes. In other words, visualization. Again, as a man thinks he what? He is. Go to Joshua 1. So you must see it. When I was praying a while back, and the Lord said to me, because he said, Guy, what do you want? And I said, I want it all. I mean, you know, this is God asking me what I want. I want it all. And he said, okay. I said, okay. I said, you mean I can have it all? He said, you can have it all. I thought, whoa, this can't be God. He said, no, it was him. He said, but let's do one thing at a time. And I said, okay. And he said, do this. He had nothing to do with what I was asking for. But you know what? When he said, do this, I saw it. I visualized it. And I began to do it. And see, now, in this arena, which he's asked me to do, as it's fully completed and it's all set up, I know that nothing will be withheld from me. I know it, that I know it, that I know it. So as the vision came, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it until it's completed fully. The website is done, everything is on it, and all the other books are ready. Because he said, once you finish this, you can have it all. I thought, whoa. But when he shared with me what to do, I did it. Now there's the stages of it to be fully completed. But I know that I know that I know when it's fully completed, I'm going to have everything I want. Hello? See, because you know what I want? I want a whole plaza. That's one of the things I want. I want a whole plaza. This is too small. I want a whole plaza for Jesus. Where we can do other things through the plaza. It's coming. In Joshua 1, in verse 8 and 9. Are you there? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. From your where? Oh, hallelujah. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will what? You'll have what? Good success. Now listen, he said meditate. Meditate is not memorization. Meditation is visualization. Are you with me? Meditation is not memorization. Meditation is visualization. And as you begin to see, but see the thing is you've got to have the connection with your Father to be obedient, because you cannot be successful in disobedience. You are successful in obedience. Are you understanding? So when he gives you something that you are to do, you are to do it with all of your heart till it is completed. You know, too many people half-step. They get nonchalant on something. They begin to get comfortable, and then they begin to compromise. They don't take it at full force. See, when God gives you something to do, it should be done as a matter of life or death. Because he came as a matter of death for your life. Are you understanding? He went all the way through. His whole focus and purpose and vision was to die for me and you. Are you with me? And even though the Bible says that he became poverty so that we could become rich, I know my dad had a stash somewhere, man. You know what I'm saying? You know. He could have just called up dad. Yo. I need a... You know what I'm saying? But in the world, he became something so that we could have access to everything. Come on, before he could even walk. Oh, you know, he was walking. He was 2 years old then. They came, and what did they bring him? Gold and incense. I mean, frankincense. Man, that stuff was worth money. The people around him that God sent were wealthy to help furnish and supply the ministry. But he didn't go around flaunting anything. Amen? He could have paid his way out of being crucified. But he didn't. Are you with me? He could have paid everybody off in that whole place, including every soldier and everyone. He could have paid them all off. But he didn't. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9, I have not commanded you, be strong and what? And of good courage. Do not be what? Afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know what? Believers don't believe that. They get into a circumstance and they, oh God, where are you? You've left me. Oh, what was me? Here I go through all that suffering again. And then the devil comes up, see, I told you. He doesn't fulfill his word. Then you go, yeah, I know. Well, you just touched and agreed. And you make covenant again. Oh, hallelujah. His word are promises. First area of defeat is to believe God is not for you. Because it didn't happen in your timing. The first area of defeat is to believe that God is not for you. Romans 8. Everybody say, the Lord be with me. Who can be against me? In Romans 8. You know, the Bible even says, pray for witty inventions. You know, you pray for, Lord, give me a witty invention that I can become wealthy. Show me what you want me to do. Are you with me? Now, you got to understand something. God is not withholding anything from us, but he's preparing us. So he's going to bring you through stages because the Bible says he won't give you any more than you can handle. For some of us, we couldn't handle $500 yet. Hello? I mean, some of y'all book right out of here with $500. You'd be gone. You'd be saying, not me! Yeah, right. We'll see when you get your first paycheck. Romans 8:31. Yeah, Pastor, I'm staying forever. Yeah, this is my home. I'm never leaving. Where's what's his name? We got paid. Yeah, I'll talk. In verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? See, we gotta change our attitude. We've gotta change our attitude that God is with us. No matter if somebody says something that offends you, well then of course you ain't dead yet. So something didn't happen right, somebody didn't visit you, you didn't get the letter you were expecting, you didn't get the job you were expecting, you didn't get the answer from the pastor. You didn't get the answer. The house manager, whatever. You know, whatever it is. Don't let anything change your attitude. Because once the devil has convinced you, your attitude changes. You've agreed with him. Come on. We must maintain the attitude that God is with us, no matter what. Wrong belief will allow the devil to steal. Psalm 37. Hallelujah! First four verses, please. Psalm 37. What does it say? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Feed on his what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. As you delight in the Lord, he's going to give you his desires. Then you become like-minded. You become like-hearted. And so many people use this scripture, oh, I desire this. Well, it's not what God desires. When your heart desires what he desires, it's coming. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But you got to feed on his word. You feed on his faithfulness. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Is everybody all right? Prepare for overflow. Hallelujah. In verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Come on. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So you know that there's three parts. You ask, right? What else do you do? You seek, and then you what? You knock, don't you? And the door will be open. Are you with me? Everyone who asks what? Receives. And he who seeks what? Finds. And everyone who what? Knocks. The door is open. So there's three areas. That means there's perseverance, isn't there? You're not going to get it all by just asking, do you? And that's where so many people go, well, I've been asking and asking and asking. Well, stop asking. And start seeking. And once you start seeking, then start knocking. Amen? Now let me tell you. How do you knock? You got to go somewhere. Hello? You can't keep knocking on your own door. You're still answering it. And ain't nothing happening. Quit answering your own door. You know, people answer their own prayers. And they get themselves in trouble. Hallelujah. Come on. Verse 10. Verse 9. For what man is there among you who what? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who what? Who ask him. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So what he's saying, listen, you ain't going to get nothing until you start treating people the way you want to be treated. How dare us ask for something when we're treating people like garbage? Amen? When we're disobedient to the will of God or to the word of God. Let me tell you something. You pay God's bills, he pays yours. It's amazing how people come up and go, man, you know, I just don't understand all these things that are happening. Well, have you tithed? Well, what do you mean? Have you given at least 10% to God? Well, no, I got bills to pay. Huh? Hello? You know, givers. We're to be givers. Believe me, we didn't get any of this if this ministry was not a giver. And this ministry gives. Even when it can't give, it gives. Regardless of what. Luke 18. Luke 18. Hallelujah. In verse 27, would you read it with me? But Jesus said, things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. In other words, he wants to bring us into the supernatural, abundant life. Again, the number one first thing that you must do, I'm going to give you eight things. I know we're going to talk about other things, but here it is. You must change the attitude by changing your belief pattern. Are you with me? You must change your attitude, and your attitude is changed by what you believe in. In other words, you must believe the Word of God. Now, if the Bible says, come out from the world and be separate, hello, and don't touch anything unclean, then I will what? Receive you. See, so those are things that prevent people from becoming successful. And then they live in survival, don't they? They live week to week, day to day. Listen, when I was in Cambodia, because of the ruler over there, which is demons, Mr. Demon Buddha, people are in poverty. They live minute by minute. They're in survival mode. Everywhere. Everybody's in survival mode. They live day by day, minute by minute. That's a terrible way to live. Isn't it? Amen. You know, God wants to bring us to that place, and your belief patterns must change, which is going to change your attitude. If you believe that God is faithful to complete what he has started in you. If you believe, you act on it, your attitude is associated with your faith. Are you hearing? Your attitude is associated with your faith. Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. So if you're truly believing in the Word of God, that he desires you to be prosperous, hello? Then your attitude is going to show what you believe. Do you get this? So the first thing that we must do, right, is to change our attitude by changing our belief patterns. And by changing your belief patterns, that means you're going to be obedient to what God is asking you to do according to his Word. If he says, come out from among them and don't touch unclean things, you're going to. Amen? Okay, let's go a little further. In Hebrews 3. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 3. Preparing for overflow. Are you getting prepared for overflow? You know, let me share something with you. Preparing for overflow, you could be so overflowed. I'm telling you, Sunday I was overflowed. I mean, I was just overflowed, man. I was overflowed with the love of God that expressed himself through every one of you. I was overflowed. I was overwhelmed. That was overflow. See, overflow doesn't have to just come with money. Amen? But when you're overflow with God's presence, everything else is coming too. Does everybody get that? When you're overflow with God's presence, everything else starts to overflow. Can't help it. Why? Because remember when they had the Ark of the Covenant, wherever it went, everybody prospered. God wants us to be at a place that whatever we touch prospers. But of course, we have to touch things according to His will, not according to ours. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, is everybody there? Praise God. Come on. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Let's see here. Let's read it together. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we what? Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the what? To the end. While it is said, what's the first word? Today. Not yesterday, is it? Not tomorrow. What is it? Today. Today, if you will hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Now listen, God wants to start this with you today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. He wants you to start right now, right in this room, right in this moment, right now. Everything to start right now. To get the attitude change and the belief patterns to change right now. Why? He wants you to prosper now. Do y'all get it? See, the devil tells you, well, it's coming. No, it's already here. What he's doing is preparing you for the overflow, but the overflow is already here. Do you get this? Now you, what he does is, look at, it's just like carrying a big bag. Amen? As you get stronger, you can carry a bigger bag. Amen? Come on. When we were little kids, we always wanted to help somebody carry these big groceries because it had all the stuff in there, you know? But it was too big for us. So we end up dragging it, ripping the bag apart, and going everywhere. Then we get yelled at or whatever. But as you grew, you got stronger so you can carry more bags. That's how God prepares you. He says He won't give you anything more than you can handle. So the overflow is there, always waiting to overflow you. Even when we were little kids, there were periods of time when our overflow came to us. It's like, whoa! You know, you couldn't. My daughter shakes when she gets all excited. Oh, you know, she looks like a fish out of water. Because she gets so excited, she can't handle it. You know, it's like an overflow to her. It's something so overwhelming, you know. It's like, whoa. And that's how God wants us. But He wants us to be able to be sensitive to the things that are from Him in overflow. Amen? Maybe somebody needs deliverance. I mean, healing. Hallelujah. Overflow. Go to Psalm 118. I'm sorry? I pray. Here it is. Praise God. What He said today. Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made, right? Oh, man. Hallelujah! Psalm 118, verse 24. Come on, say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made in what? We will rejoice and be glad. Listen, this is the day. He wants you to have it now. Now. Everybody say now. Praise God. God, today is the day. It's all yours right now. Let me share something with you, and this is the third thing. You must have a desire to live above life's limitations. Come on. You must have a what? A desire to live above life's limitations or the limitations of life. See, we have been so trained that we don't even realize that there are limitations to us. Things that were brought, how you were raised. Amen. How other people around you were, how they lived. You know, you get around an individual that was very wealthy and comes down to nothing, that person's limitations are higher. Because he knew where he was. Are you with me? See, we've got to now live above life's limitations or the limitations of life. We've got to come out of this, again, I want to say, welfare mentality, fearful mentality, limitations that prevent us in that foolish arena that says, I must be falsely humble by poverty. You know? That's crazy. And that's not God. God wants us to prosper. You must have a desire to live above the limitations of life that this world is holding people back on. When I was in Cambodia, those people were limited. To them, because of everybody they hung around with and where they live, this is okay. But if they came to America, whoa. It's like, whoa. It'd be overflowed to them. Even if they didn't have anything. But just to be in America would be overflowed to them. On the streets would be overflowed to them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 54. So the third thing is we must have a desire to live above the limitations or life's limitations. Isaiah 54. You know what? Let me share something with you, which is the devil used to hit me because I was not a good reader when I was in the world. In fact, I hated to read. And I would get afraid if somebody asked me to read. And after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and the scales came off, this voice said to me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I used to speak that all the time. I used to say it. I used to confess it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I would pick up a book and I begin to read it, and all of a sudden the enemy would say, you can't understand, you can't, and all of a sudden I hear the Lord say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I would press and I would press and I would press, and I'd move all, it would like be a cloud which used to come around me and say, you can't do this. Why? Because the old was trying to come up to the present. And I would just keep reading. I would just keep reading and reading and reading, and I would begin to get tired, and the Holy Spirit would say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I would read more, and I would read more, and I would read more. And all of a sudden I realized I was a reader. Whoa. And my wife, and I'd say certain things to my wife, and she'd double look at me like, what happened to you? I would say words I didn't even understand. But they fell right good in the sentence. And my wife would say, I didn't even know you knew that word. I didn't either. See, that deaf and dumb spirit caused me to have limitations. The world wants you to have limitations. Religion wants you to have limitations. But I can do all. See, Christ means anointing. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. Amen? We've got to come out of the box and into the arena where we can do all things. But you know what? It's not going to happen unless you confess it. Because you've got to change the atmosphere around you. Listen, when an attack comes, you don't go, "Oh, God, I'm getting attacked by the devil." Because he says, "Yes, you are." "I'm being tempted. Oh, all these thoughts." No, man, you got to step out of that and give him a thought. Let me share something with you. Victories are only won by battles. And if you're not in the battle, you'll become a casualty. Too many people give up. They roll over for the devil. They try to play dead. And then he takes whatever he wants. Hello? Isaiah 54 and verse 2, would you read it with me? What does it say? "Enlarge the place of your" what? "Tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Let me tell you something. It's time to enlarge in your tent. In other words, enlarge in your sight. Enlarge in your thinking. Enlarge in your imagination. You know, there are some wild flicks I like to watch every once in a while. You know what it does? It increases my imagination. Did you ever watch something that just gave you so much encouragement? You know? Like the Titans and, you know, there's just some good flicks out there that just all of a sudden, whoa, yes! And you're ready to go take on the world. You know, it encourages you. What did it do? Why? Because it gave you visualization, didn't it? It brought you encouragement. Amen? It brought you encouragement. You saw it. You said, "Yes, I've been there. And look it. They went through it and became successful. I know I can." Amen. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You must see it. So it's time to enlarge your tents and your imaginations. I yourself taking possession. Are you with me? I want you to be able to see yourself taking position. Taking possession. I want you to be able to see you taking it. The Bible says that it's taken by what? Force. And don't give up. Visualization. Enlarge your sight, imagination, and thinking. See yourself taking possession of every... No, wait a minute. See yourself taking possession... Are you with me? Of every obstacle that comes against you. See yourself taking possession of every obstacle that comes against you. Take it. Take possession of every obstacle that comes against you. Fear. Oppression. Weariness. Tiredness, anxiety, stress, sickness, disease. You know, so many people are so focused on the circumstance, the situation, the sickness, the disease, the everything else, that they can't take possession. It's taking possession of them. But we're to take possession of it, or you can't be successful. You always have to start over again. And we don't want to do that, do we? Amen? So the fourth thing is to see yourself taking possession of every obstacle that comes against you. Look, go to Matthew 13. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you sure? Okay. Matthew 13. preparing for overflow. Glory. Matthew 13. In verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Would you read it with me? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? It's like what? Isn't treasure wealth? It's like treasure what? Hidden in a field. Which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and what? Sells all that he has and buys that field. Treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? A merchant seeking what? Beautiful pearls. Look at this. Treasures, pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So we see here that the treasure, the pool, and everything good, the kingdom is overflow of his goodness and wealth. Do you see this? Everything is associated with overflow. Go to Mark 11, and we'll close here until Tuesday. Mark 11. Hallelujah. Prepare for overflow. Mark 11 and verse 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I know the devil's going, yeah, right. I see labels of doubt. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will what? You will what? You will have them. Wow. No doubt. Have what you say. In other words, confession brings what? Possession. Your confession will not only bring you into the future, but bring your future to you. Immature behavior robs us from success. Remember, failures are not finals. So the fifth thing that we must do is have confession. And we're not talking about going to a confessional. You must confess the promises of God. Why? Because immature behavior robs us from successes. In other words, because you are shortchanged on your check doesn't give you the right to grumble and complain. Because then your trust is in you and not God. Because the job that you just got isn't what you really want, but it's the one that you got, and it doesn't pay very much, but it's the one that you've got. That means that you must be content with what you got, and as you complete and fulfill what you got, God will give you more. Why? Because he's preparing you for overflow. Now, you got to think of something. If you didn't have a job, you had nothing. But because you've got the little job with little pay, you've got something. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So the fifth thing is we want to confess the promises of God. Because confession brings possession with no doubting, no wavering. Amen? Confession brings possession. The Bible says something very powerful, that all things will work to the good So everything is working to the good, isn't it? And that's Romans 8:28. All things will work to the good. And we'll stop here and pick up again. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that the seed be protected and grown, bear fruit for your glory, and that you'd strengthen us and quicken us. Help us, Lord, according to what you just said, Father, according to what you just said, in the area of attitude change, belief patterns change, that you're with us and not against us, to give us the strength and the desire to live above the limitations of life, and to allow us to see ourselves possess every obstacle that comes against us, and to speak the promises of God, because you are faithful to complete what you started, and we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name.